Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
It's time for your favorite Degrassi podcast, Narbos and Broomheads. And this week we are talking about season 6, episode 17 of Degrassi Next Gen. It is titled Sunglasses at Night for reasons. I'm Marlo, and I will be your host for this episode. And I'm coming to you from Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And I'm joined by some pals from across Canada and the U.S. So let's see who's out there. We'll start over in the T-Dot.
I hope that this episode is going to be a royal flush.
Cue the sound of a toilet flushing.
Yes. Hi, everybody. I'm Alan. I'm in Toronto. I spent my day Black Friday shopping in Buffalo. Some fucker tried to ruin my plans a few days ago by driving their car into the border patrol. But have no fear, they opened that border back up because commerce rules. So hi everybody. I don't have any other stories. Let's go to Oakville, where I drove through twice today on my way to and from Buffalo.
That is right. And I'm ready. You're ready for this to be a royal flush, and I'm ready for it to flop.
Oh, okay. Aww. Come on, man.
Well, it's just more poker talk.
Yeah. Good job.
Is that a poker term? I had no idea. I was like,
it is.
Hey, that's a little harsh.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's keep an open
like
mind.
The turn and the river and all that kind of stuff.
All right.
Meanwhile, I'm ready for Marco to make a huge poker mistake, and we'll talk about that later.
Oh, only one?
Well, yeah. Sorry. Mistakes, I should say. You're right. That's all I got. Played a little bit. All right, let's send it just a little bit south of Oakville, a little southeast of Oakville. Who do we got in New York?
Hello, everyone. It's Stacy. Don't blame us for that crazy driver in the Bentley that didn't know how to drive the Bentley and made everyone think it was a terrorist attack on the Rainbow Bridge. It was a Bentley.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. Those were a great 12 hours of, oh my God, it's a terrorist attack. Wait, it's not a terrorist attack, but Fox News is still saying it's a terrorist attack. I love being an American.
You would have thought the secretaries at our school ready to hide under their desks because of what was going on.
Oh my God.
I went in there during the day. It was wild.
I'm so sorry, guys. I'm so sorry to my Canadian friends that we do this stuff. It's just so embarrassing. So, that's why I like doing this podcast, because you make me feel like an honorary Canadian and I can forget being American for a couple hours a week.
I just feel bad that the occupants of the car like died in a fiery fireball.
Yeah, like, I mean, Jesus, that thing.
Other than that, it would be very funny. But
yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people were making Dukes of Hazzard jokes because of the way the car flew. But oof,
could have been worse. They could have made it to that Kiss concert. So
the whole
what? Too soon? Sorry.
You're all terrible. Uh-huh. All right.
So, Alan, what was the best Friday deal you got today? Black Friday deal you saw?
I bought not on Black Friday, but a few weeks ago I bought a Nintendo Switch.
Ooh, we have that.
And so I bought two buy two used get one free video games, and They're all games for children because they have Super Mario all over them. But that's what I got. Okay.
Welcome to my world, buddy.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go on Amazon later and buy a set of sheets. So my life is interesting.
I did buy some new Funko Pops, as usual. So I bought three professional wrestler Funko Pops. I got Ravishing Rick Rude.
Yeah, you did.
Remember. Yes.
Nice.
I got Vader, and I got the Big Boss Man. So,
oh my goodness!
Yeah, was,
ever take a trip?
That's right,
Georgia.
It's quite the day, everybody. Quite the day. I also got.
May I ask what kind of tights Ravishing Rick Rude is wearing?
Give me a sec. Hold on.
They got to be pink or purple.
No, they're just, they kind of have like this fire design and it's got like his image on the front. I don't know what's on the butt because I don't take the thing out, but it does not have Jake the Snake's wife on it, unfortunately.
Or like, when he wore Ultimate Warrior right on his crotch.
Yes.
Oh, that was a good one too.
And then Ultimate Warrior pulled down his tights and they pretended like he had no pants underneath. Did you ever see that angle?
Oh my God. I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, where they, like, blurred out the bottom of his, you know, like, the bottom of his torso to give you the impression that he was naked. And that
I'm
he...
picturing it right now. That's so weird. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that moment in 30 years, and that's just, whoa.
Well, there you go, everyone.
All right, so let's jump in here. First of all, let's talk a little bit about Sunglasses at Night, the song. It's of course a Corey Hart song, and I love Corey Hart. It is from I believe an album that was released in 1983. I think the single was released in 1984.
Yeah.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong, Alan.
You're correct.
And the album is First Offense, which was his first album. Great song, great track.
Yeah. Love it's it. The song's about poker. And playing poker and losing all your money in a poker game. And
in Tony's auto shop.
Yeah.
And then, your boyfriend has gone to.
Yeah. The third. And then there's, of course, like the famous, you know, third verse of the song where he talks about stealing money from his dad to pay for his poker debts. So, yeah.
Well, and there's also the verse about sneaking around with your douchebag boyfriend.
Yes. yes, there is.
Oh, yeah. That's the unaired version, though.
yeah.
Sunglasses.
Extended Canadian remix.
Sunglasses at Night charted better in the United States than in Canada. So there you go.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Speaking of Sunglasses at Night, when one of my friends was getting married, as guys often do, we had a bachelor party for said friend. And this was the one time of all the bachelor parties I gone to where the best man ordered a stripper instead of going to like a strip club or something. So we were at a. We're at the hotel, and we see that the stripper is showing up, and she's taking a long time to get in, come out of her car when she pulled up. We didn't know what was going on. We're like, okay, whatever. Maybe it wasn't time yet. I have no idea. So finally, she comes up to the door, knocks on the door with her like bodyguard. She had some big guy with her, and she had to say, "I'm so sorry, my stereo has broken, and I have no music. Is there anything that we can do about that?" So we're kind of looking around and, well, there's a TV. So we tuned the TV to Much Music.
I was going to say, the Canadian version of MTV.
And what song happened to play during her dance but One Sunglasses at Night by Corey Hart.
Amazing.
So if we fast forward a little bit to the wedding, and when the DJ started taking music suggestions.
Requests. Is
requests.
The word you're
thank you for the
word.
So, yes. Thank you. When he started taking music requests, thank you. About every third song was Sunglasses at Night by Corey Hart. And to this day, the bride doesn't know why. She constantly brings up, "Man, you guys really like Sunglasses at Night by Corey Hart." And we'll just laugh because she had no idea why we did it. The mother of the bride had no idea why we did it. And it was playing every third song at the wedding.
Oh my God, that is so funny.
So
and by the way, next time I go to a wedding and there's a DJ, I'm going to say, "Might I suggest you play this?" Instead of asking for a request.
That's true. Good point.
I hope
well, I read on Wikipedia today that the way the song came about was, according to one of the producers of the track, they were doing some recording sessions for the album, and they happened to be in a studio where the air conditioning and heating vents were directly above the mixing console, and the air from the vents drew directly into the faces of the control room people, and so they started wearing sunglasses to protect their eyes from these gusts of air kind of thing. And so Corey Hart sort of started riffing around with ideas about sunglasses, and that's how it came about.
That is so funny. That's such a funny reason for them to have to wear sunglasses.
It sounds ridiculous. Song. It sounds like a Degrassi episode. This is the reason why they came up with this song. Yeah.
Well, and for everybody's knowledge, so when I didn't watch this episode in a long time, but I knew what it was about. So when I saw sunglasses at night, I'm like, okay, because he plays poker, and people who play poker wear sunglasses, and they often play through the night. So he plays poker. Sure. There are no sunglasses in this episode anywhere.
No sunglasses.
So I don't know what the hell's going on here. You know, there are other songs about poker that they could have used, I think. The Gambler, probably being one of the more famous ones. But, you know, Poker Face you could have used. I know you want to stick with the 80s thing, but Queen of Hearts might have been one.
They already used Queen of Hearts, and they already kind of used the plot from Queen of Hearts as well.
And Poker Face was after this, so they couldn't use that.
Okay, Ace of Spades.
That they could have used, yes.
Yeah, so I don't know. But anyways, sure.
Or really any song other than sunglasses.
Yeah.
I will say that I did kind of get whiplash a little bit from this episode. I feel like it moves really quickly various stages here. So let's jump into it. So we open in Jimmy and Spinner's t-shirt shop, and apparently Marco is working there, and Marco's dad is installing an alarm system for them, and Marco is playing an online poker game on the laptop and not really paying attention to what's going on. And I'm sure that the fact an alarm system is being installed will not be important later.
Also, you say this episode moves really quickly. We fade in at the start of the episode. Marco's into online poker, like really into it. It's like there's been nothing. And now I drew a lot of parallels in my notes to Marco's behavior in this episode and Craig when he was the cokehead. But, like, you know, Craig wasn't kind of dabbling in coke before he went away, but you could see it in his behavior, like obsessive and, you know, totally like prone to this kind of stuff you would imagine. So when he comes back and he's on coke, you're like, all right, that tracks, right?
Yeah, tracks. Right. Yeah, sure.
Marco, where did this come from?
Right.
When we find out the reason for it, you're just like, dude, really?
Yeah.
So also, how are they paying for all this? How are they paying to pay Marco to work at the store? And how are they paying for this alarm system?
Well, not just Marco, but we learn about Paige, too.
Yeah.
Well, I do have an answer for you, because one of the previous episodes that we were like, how are they paying Paige to be their marketing manager? What is happening? There actually is a deleted scene, which at the time of that episode, I either wasn't on that episode or I didn't have time to watch the deleted scenes or whatnot. But there is one where she's sitting there with Jimmy and Spinner, and they tell her that they can't afford to pay her, so she'll have to take a cut of the profits for payment. Mm-hmm. And she says, that's fine, because Paige equals profits. So I know that I'm going to get money out of this.
But up to this point...
It's possible that they also have that deal with Marco where he gets a percentage of the profit, right?
Sorry, and as I said, but up to this point, there was no profits in this store. They were closing the store.
Yeah. Like, how much do you want? I don't know, 10%. All right, what's 10% of zero?
We owe $500 in back rent.
Yeah. Yeah, so sure.
I'm just saying, so they're not... They did negotiate with Paige where they weren't actually paying her at that time.
Also, wouldn't this alarm system have been useful after the robbery, like at the very opening of the store?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's cool though.
You would think, but
they got around to it.
Well, Spinner does say, like, we only want to get robbed once, right? So this is
I guess that's a good theory.
Yeah, it's because they got robbed, right? Even though they happened to be in the store at the time, and an alarm system wouldn't change anything in that case. But whatever. It's fine. Show got a show. Mr. Del Rossi only deals with cash. Cash only.
I love it.
Because yep. He doesn't trust the banks.
I thought he would have said, I only deal with cash or perhaps some gold coins.
Yeah, where he lost the accent a while ago, but it's kind of jarring because I liked his really bad accent in season 3 when we first saw him.
Yes.
When he actually talked like Mario and Luigi. Great.
Well, he's
like
going
in one
to...
sentence, he threw every Italian stereotype out there, right?
Like, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he only took cash. He only trusts the banks. He's now going to go play the ponies.
I don't trust the banks at all. Service fees and no interest. And I thought, also, you don't have to declare your income when you take cash, like under the
That's
table.
True.
So, sure.
Cash only also doesn't give you good interest. Just, I noted that.
Like, well, then the other thing, though, is, so they're like, we have this cash deal. And it's like, well, Marco's dad isn't a professional, like, installer of alarms, right? He runs a paper store.
Yeah, so he, printing so he, business.
Yeah, so he's doing it as a favor to them. Like, I'm wondering why, like, I guess they have to pay him for it. I'm not sure. But, like, they're paying him like he's the alarm company. Like, what?
Well, here's the thing. After he installs the alarm, Spinner says, oh, the new signs look great, Mr. Del Rossi.
Yeah.
Right? Oh,
or
okay.
Mr. DR.
He called him Mr. DR, yeah.
Yeah, or whatever he says. Conceivably, he could be paying Mr. Del Rossi for the signs, not for the install.
Oh, okay. All right, now that makes sense. I'm sorry. Sorry, Degrassi. Writing makes total sense. Oops.
The writers know what they're doing after all.
The clouds have cleared.
So he's going to go bet on the ponies with a friend, and he asks if Spinner and Marco would like to go with them, but Marco declines. And Mr. Del Rossi leaves. Marco laments to Spinner that he's down in the dumps because Dylan has left to play hockey in Switzerland, and he hasn't been in contact with him or as much as contact as Marco would like. Spinner kind of tries to cheer him up a little bit. And suddenly Marco wins $200 on online poker. And that seems to perk him up a little bit.
Yeah, great. When he, when they're talking about the hockey team and Dylan and the hockey team, and Spinner is like, you know, Dylan's busy. He's, you know, traveling with the team and playing with the team and practicing with the team. And Marco's like, oh, and long hot showers with the team. And I thought, like, that's just not... I mean, maybe you would think that. I don't know. But I wouldn't want to project that on television, where it's like, yeah, the gay guy is just, like, fucking all the other gay guys on the team, which is pretty much, like, the big stereotype that people have that's bullshit, by the way. But, you know, one of the, oh, can't have gay people on my sports team. So I wouldn't have put that out there.
Way to perpetuate.
Yeah. It's like, oh, even the gay people think that they're just on the team to fuck. So
yeah, they're just all showering, watching you undress or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, so, maybe I misheard, but did they say he'd only been gone about a week?
Yes, they did. He's only been gone about
a week. Like, it's only been a week.
So,
you know how it is when you're young.
Yeah.
I guess a week's a year.
Yeah, and in a week you can become a poker expert and just be obsessed with it and great, you know, so yeah, it's great. Also,
Euchre? I can't remember.
by the way, and like I'm also not a poker expert, but I play a little bit of Hold'em, but I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's in my notes here. He said, yes, he was dealt an offsuit 4-6. And
ooh,
somehow,
that's a beauty start.
Yeah, and somehow won with that hand. 4-6 is a hand you fold with immediately. Like, unless you're bluffing. And like we learned in this episode, Marco just bluffs on everything, which you're going to get caught. Like, it's going to catch up with you really quickly. So yes, anyways.
Well, I think also one piece that was missing for me a little bit is that online poker is really different than in-person poker.
Yes.
Like there's no bluffing on online poker. Like, you don't, you know, it doesn't prevent you from having tells or whatnot.
Right.
There's no emotional game when it comes to online poker. So it doesn't necessarily translate to poker with real people.
I'm sure it's going to go really well. Yeah.
Yeah. So the credits roll, and then we are at the university dorm mansion house. Marco is leaving Dylan a message to give him a call back. Paige arrives home because I guess she's living there now that Dylan left, because why not? Everybody lives there now. How convenient. Uh-huh. We learn that Ellie has given Paige permission to date Jesse. But there is still some tension there.
Yeah.
Paige leaves and goes up to her room, and Marco again starts lamenting to Spinner that he's miserable. And then out of nowhere, he gets it into his head that they should go on vacation to Daytona Beach, of all places.
For spring break, when it's actually fall. But
yeah.
Let's not mention that.
In the last
this episode apparently takes place in December.
That's not spring break.
So
I don't know.
Well, it would be two months away.
Yeah, so it might be like winter break, but like he specifically says,
spring break is more like around Easter, at least down here.
March
spring break is.
Yeah, he specifically says spring break, and in university in Canada, reading week happens in about late February. And in the States, spring break is in March, maybe even further than that, in the school system, the public school system, which Spinner is in. He's not in university. He is going to high school. So his spring break is going to be in March. And so everything about the suggestion of spring break
lines up perfectly.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Check, check, check.
I must say, little known that's happened now, that in most Canadian universities, kids are getting two reading weeks now. One like a month into school, so they get one in October, and they get a second one in February now.
Yes, my stepkids had this fucking week off in October. I was like, where the hell was that when I was going to school?
No.
Yeah. So great.
I don't know how things were in the mid-2000s, but was Daytona Beach still a spring break place? Because that was a big spring break place when, like, I was maybe a freshman in high school, but then we graduated to, like, Cancun by the time I was a senior. So it just felt weird that the writers were like, yeah, let's pick Daytona Beach. It's like, hello, it's not 1986.
I have no idea. I mean, what's their plan? Are they going to drive?
I mean, I think there was still like Daytona Beach, MTV dance party. Like this aired in 2007.
I don't know. I feel like by then they moved to Panama City. Like I feel like spring break kind of migrated across Florida to the panhandle from Daytona Beach. This timeline just seems really off to me. And I noticed it the first time I watched. I'm like, Daytona? I'm like, of all places they're picking. I was like, come on. Give me a break. But the whole thing is stupid, obviously. But I love how, like, in the beginning, Spinner's the voice of reason, and then he ends up kind of being the voice of reason, where Marco's the one out of control. It's like, nice role reversal for a change.
Yeah, Spinner's had a good run of sort of being the common sense hero in this show.
Mm-hmm.
Guess that extra year of high school will make it work for you.
Yeah, it's exactly that. He's matured.
Also,
he's 18.
In this house, now living here, is Paige and Ellie, who are both dating the same guy, so there's animosity there. Ellie is, you know, it's not really revealed, but like Marco's one of her many obsessions, right? And they did used to date, so there's that dynamic. Paige's brother dated Marco and moved out, so we've got that. Spinner's hanging around, and he's into Paige, so yeah, like, it's great. Lots of fluids exchanged between
Jimmy
these characters.
Spinner do all of their screen printing in this house as well.
Yeah, everything happens here. So.
And then there's the Harajuku girls that live there too.
I think they must have tied up in the basement or something.
Well, Spinner mentioned them.
Spinner says that they don't have money for a vacation, but Marco has a plan to earn enough money playing online poker.
Uh-huh.
So he immediately starts to play and immediately wins some money, and then he offers
immediately blows it.
And Jimmy out to a club, and he is confident that he will keep on winning money.
And
speaking of Jimmy, is he going to be running the store when they go to spring break?
Is he gonna be running the store? Come on, Stacey, it's too soon.
Too soon. Come on.
Come on.
Is he going to be wheeling the store?
be rolling the store.
Rolling the store?
The hand, by the way, that Mark will win $70 on, he gets dealt a king deuce. Now it is suited. Yep,
another beauty.
Yeah. The flop gives him nothing, though. So again, he would have had to have bluffed his way to the $70. So...
he's doing is hitting raise every time it comes to him.
Yes, he just raises
just
all the time.
Assuming they'll quit.
Yeah, and then he tells him, "Let's hit up a club," and boy, what a nightclub they go to! Like, I'm like, "Oh, a nightclub? Okay, imagine what a nightclub is, everybody. We've all been there." Let's talk about what they're doing in the very next scene.
Time they're at the club, it like. To me, that club looks like it's the university bar.
It is. It's the same set. They just try to make it look
yeah,
different.
Like I think a university bar looks like that.
Yeah, it's
like
the same
set.
A
nightclub does not look like that.
I don't even think they'd get in yet. They wouldn't be old enough.
Well, when I get invited to a nightclub, what I think to myself is, oh boy, we're going to sit around a table and eat appetizers with no music playing because that's what they're doing.
It's wing night, though.
At the club.
Oh, yeah. Remember that.
At the club.
A good night.
Yeah.
So they're at the club eating presumably wings and because it's wing night. And there is a puff of red smoke.
Oh, my God. Thank
and
you for saying
Jay
that.
And Jay the Devil.
Oh, that's exactly what I had in my notes.
Idles up to their table.
That's exactly what I had. I said, I'm convinced Jay Hogard is the devil and isn't real. He just appears out of nowhere. That is in my notes. I'm so happy you said that.
He is quickly going up my MVP ladder of this season. He's incredible now.
Yeah. I enjoyed when Marco was like, oh yeah, my boyfriend moved away or whatever. And he was like, yeah, you're gay.
I as you all know, because when he said that line, I loved it so much that I've recorded it and put it in our DM for this podcast. Marco, he's like, oh, you're winning a lot at poker. Marco's like, I used to play with my boyfriend. And Jay goes, yes, you're gay. Like, what? I thought it was so amazing. Yeah.
Now that's writing, people.
Yes.
So, of course, his ears perk up when he hears that they're needing some coin. So he invites them to a poker game with some guys from his work.
It's amazing. He just happens to be there. He just happens to run into Marco talking about poker. He just happens to know about a big game. Like that's
he's the devil.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, Texas Hold'em, $20 in the door, $100 in the game. I love it.
So back at Degrassi, the Christian club is in a meeting about charity initiatives. And Peter arrives at the door and says that Miss Hatzilatus wants to talk to Darcy. So she excuses herself.
You forgot to hit on the point where the one kid said their latest idea to make money should be a used glasses drive. To which Peter probably should just said, yeah, good job, nerd.
His name is Jeff. Nerd. Good job, Jeff.
Nerd.
So Darcy excuses herself, but actually Peter lied, so he and Darcy can smooch in the
what?
Hall.
Wait, no, Peter? No. No way. There's no way that Peter lied and had her sneak away from anywhere. That Peter just does not do that. No. I refuse to believe it.
He gives her a necklace that looks like a tiny silver penis.
It does. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But she loves it, and I hate these two.
Wait a minute. You missed
so
the whole thing. It's the key to my heart. Right. That's what he told her. And then I put puke with about 20 U's between the P and the K in all caps. Because
Arlo didn't notice it because she was gagging because she had her finger down her throat so far.
Just at the sight of them. Just the thought of them. Ugh.
This is the second time that we're having a Peter relationship that has to stay secret.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why Peter isn't allowed to have a girlfriend.
Well,
I understand why Darcy
legally he shouldn't
be
allowed. Like, but
I know he's grounded and stuff like that, but he's not allowed to have a girlfriend. Like, they're like, you're grounded, you're not allowed to have a girlfriend. Like, I know that Darcy's parents are strict, and that's why she has to sneak around. I don't know, like, you'd think they would want him to date, like,
a goody-goody Christian girl.
Queen of Degrassi, right?
But let's not point out, why should Darcy want to be with him?
Yes. We forgot
that's where
that
I'm
part.
Stuck all the time.
And I hate, like, because this is just another storyline where it's like, oh, poor Peter can't be with the girl that he's into. Which is what it was
like
with
Emma. Romeo and Juliet.
And again, the writers want us to feel bad for this little fucker. So
yeah, it's another episode where we have to feel bad for Peter, and there's no feeling bad for Peter ever.
They're also both awful. I really dislike this pairing a lot. So back at the dorm mansion, Marco is emailing Dylan, who we surmise is still not responding to Marco's efforts to get a hold of him. Paige and Ellie start bickering over who gets Dylan's old room and about Jesse, and they try to rope Marco into the argument, but he yells at them to shut the fuck up.
Best thing he's done all night.
And then I guess, like, we see that he's really agitated and he is looking for an escape. Basically.
I mean, honestly, if I had to deal with those two cackling hags fighting over Jesse, I would be the same way.
Yes. Well, you don't have to wait long, as we will learn.
Oh. Well, you know, gambling addiction is a very real thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very real addiction that you can have. The depiction of it in this episode.
Well, as with every depiction of everything on Degrassi, because it all has to be wrapped up in 20 minutes.
Well, and the rate with which it started.
Yeah.
Well, like, and it starts and escalates, right? And I think what they're trying to show is that he is looking for an escape because of his emotional problems, and his gambling is giving him some kind of
release.
Escape.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can I tell this story about how I almost became addicted to gambling?
Yes, please.
Not a very long story. So in 2001, I ended up having to work in Edmonton for a year, which I call it the lost year, but it is what it is. At the start, though, it was only supposed to be like for 6 weeks, 8 weeks. So I was put up in a hotel in downtown Edmonton, and down the street from the hotel was one of their casinos. So I like going to casinos from time to time. So I go, and I decide to go once, and I play blackjack. And, like, I don't have the stomach to gamble too much money. Like, if I lose, like, $20, I feel sick to my stomach and do not want to continue. But go and I play, and then, like, a few weeks later, I play again. And then there's a kind of a week where I decided, I went once, and then I decided a few days later, I was like, oh, I'm going to go again. And that time that I went, I was sitting around the blackjack table, and I looked around the table, and I was like, oh, wow. These are all the same people who I've seen all the other times. What a bunch of fucking losers. And then I was like, oh, wait a second. Yeah. And I left and never came back. So that's how I almost became addicted to gambling, everyone.
Sorry, Alan. Very real. People really do ruin their lives. Like, it's...
I just assumed, Alan, that you got addicted to gambling from the first sentence. I had to go work in Edmonton.
Yes, it's
sorry,
true.
I thought that was the end. I turned away. Did something else happen?
Surprising I didn't end up on drugs or, you know, God knows what else. I actually also, they have really good blackjack tables in North Dakota. And I say they're good because they're like $1 a bet, which to me is good.
Nice.
Most people would hate that. And I watched a guy talk about how he had worked extra shifts at Taco Bell to earn some money, and he proceeded to gamble away at least $300 in half an hour. It's like, that's a lot of fucking shifts at Taco Bell, dude. So, not good.
And at $1 a hand.
Well, you could bet more than that. So, he was betting, like, the max.
Gotcha.
And losing. So, it's great. And it makes me sick. I can't watch another person do it either. Like, in movies, there's a scene at the start of Swingers where Jon Favreau loses $300, and, like, it still makes me ill to watch that scene. And, like, the movie is supposed to be cringeworthy for, like, all this social bullshit, but that's the scene that makes me, like, want to puke. So,
or when Matt Damon loses all of his role to KGB at the beginning of Rounders.
Yes. Ugh.
What a movie.
Yeah.
Incredible movie.
Anyway, sorry.
That's okay. Great story, bro.
Thanks.
back at Degrassi, we are in Snake's class, and he starts a discussion about internet community moderation. And Peter pipes up and says that it's censorship. Kim disagrees with him. And then Darcy pretends to jump to Kim's defense to sell the idea that she and Peter aren't canoodling. And she winks at Peter, he catches on, and they fake argue and insult each other in front of the class. And I hate this so much.
So this is their this is their kink, right? Like they're fighting with each other and they're getting off on it. They're like, oh,
well, I think they're trying to prove to her friend that they're not together. Isn't that why she starts? Because her friend's starting to suspect something's going on, so her goody two shoes friend doesn't think that it's Peter that she's her boyfriend.
Yes. Correct.
I think that's the look, right? She's kind of smirking. Okay. It's not him.
Also, who here was shocked that Peter, who distributed images of a student's breast online, disagrees with internet censorship?
Yeah. How was he allowed to have that opinion?
Yeah. Yeah.
He should have been shut down right there. Peter, get to the office. Go see
your
mom.
Snake, what is Snake doing?
I'll tell you one reason why this makes my skin crawl. And if you've never worked in an adult store, you might not know that people do this kind of thing. But occasionally we'll get phone calls from people and they'll try to keep you on the phone as long as possible by asking about the products. And it's hard to sort of catch on that somebody's doing this. But what it ends up being is that they have a dom and they are the sub and they're making their sub call. And if they don't keep us on the phone long enough, then they get punished, right? So it's like these people's like weird sex games that they're playing. But like to loop someone else into that, it's without their consent, is really gross and icky.
Uh-huh.
So this like feels like that. It's like their weird game that they're playing, but it's in front of a whole bunch of other people that have not consented to this weird like flirt thing that they have going on during this time. And it reminds me of that type of situation and I hate it.
So is Darcy Peter's dom?
I mean, probably. Yeah. She seems pretty domineering in this relationship. Uh-huh. So it's just like, don't play your weird, stupid games and involve other people. Like play your weird, stupid games in private.
Fine. So. I will. Sorry for the phone calls.
So back to Marco and Spinner. They're on their way to Jay's poker game. Marco is enthusiastic about it. Spinner has some misgivings about it. Marco starts talking about how he's feeling left behind and he's boring compared to what other people have been doing. And he expresses again that he is seeking some kind of rush.
Now, can we talk about the things that he lists as being the things he's kind of jealous of?
Yes, Marco. Please.
So his
high school
friends opening up a business that up till today was out of business, blowing all the money. Jimmy blowing his university fund. His best friend Ellie dating her boss. I mean, Dylan going away to hockey might have been the only positive of anything he talked about.
Yeah.
Paige is funking out of fucking banting.
Yeah.
Why is he so proud of these friends?
Yeah, he's like, everybody's having adventures but me. And I agree. Like, everyone's having really shitty fucking times. Yeah. Like, Marco's
you're making it work and doing well at school. They should be jealous of you.
Marco lamenting a few episodes ago that he got, a fucking C+ or a C-, and that was, like, a horrible thing to him when Paige was, you know, can't even finish a fucking open book test. He lives in a mansion. His dad is rich and only deals in cash.
A professional hockey player.
Yeah. But yeah, Marco, life is rough. Yeah,
boo-hoo, Marco.
Yeah.
Your dad's probably got thousands of dollars hidden in bags around the house because he doesn't trust banks.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know, Marco should have just looked under the mattress. He could have totally recouped that money that he lost.
So back at Degrassi, Peter and Darcy are sneaking around in some kind of backstage or boiler room type area.
I think that's the boiler room where they were trying to play euchre that one time in season 5, if I'm not mistaken. No, yeah. 4.
It looks like there's all these sets, like theater sets in the background, though. I'm not really sure what's going on with that. It's some kind of...
It was probably back the back area. Room for, like, the actual Degrassi
the
set.
The show didn't care.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, yeah. Fuck it, put him in there.
The back of a soundstage somewhere, yeah. So the janitor catches them, and he threatens to tell Miss Hatzilakis.
It was either the janitor or a leprechaun that caught them.
Yes.
Like, twiddly doodly doo, Peter Stone. I wonder if your mom would like to hear about this. Doodly doodly doo. Yeah.
I mean, why didn't they just put the hat on him? Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
Oh, God. These people with these bad accents. That, like,
they're after me, Lucky Charms.
Yeah. Like, I was really surprised he actually didn't say that.
So, back to the poker game. We get a bunch of really fancy camera shots. And at the end of all these fancy shots, Marco wins the hand.
All right. So I've got a paragraph.
Okay.
A paragraph?
Yeah. Clearly you know more about poker than I do. I was just like, oh, okay, Marco wins. Great.
At the poker game.
I'll just fill in. Take it.
We have an incomprehensible sequence of events is what I wrote. First, the dialogue would never happen in a poker game.
No, 100%. That's the worst part. It took some good card playing and ruined it.
Yeah. So can't lose money if you don't bet. Yeah, well, can't win it either. No one says
okay,
that.
Okay, boss.
Yeah. Yeah. Marco bets 100. I'm assuming it's $100. I don't know. But he bets 100. And then he shows Spinner.
Yes! What is he doing?
He lifts up. They're playing Hold'em, so he's got two cards face down on the table. They're supposed to be for your eyes only. He shows Spinner that he has a 7, which is, number one, Spinner is sitting across the table. It's not like Spinner is next to him. So he shows it to Spinner, who's across the table, which is poor etiquette, like extremely 100%. Poor etiquette.
Like he would be folding the hand right then and there.
I would have been like, don't do that again or you're not fucking playing. Like, yeah, don't do that. Spinner has no poker face at all. He's like, go! So... He's
high five him.
Yeah. So then the next thing that's incomprehensible is they show the board and the board is like 2-3-9 unsuited. So Marco showing the 7 to Spinner, like if you showed nothing. Like, oh fuck, I'm working on a straight or a flush or I have quads, you know, something like that. But Marco showing Spinner that he has a 7 means he has a 7 high. Which is
he doesn't have the highest card on the board.
Which is nothing. So he's excited to show Spinner that he has nothing. Spinner reacts to it, even though he has nothing. Marco then goes all in when he's got nothing. And then
ballsy move.
Yeah.
It's a ballsy move.
And then the other guy folds, and Marco and Spinner openly celebrate at the table, which again, poor etiquette. I'd be like, don't do that. Like
but here's the thing too. He folded on trying to catch his tell, and what does Marco do but shows him the card?
Yes!
Which you don't do when someone folds because he didn't pay for them, and now he knows he's bluffing.
Yes, he shows his fucking bluff, which is so dumb. Yeah. It's everything.
It's awful.
Yeah, from
he deserved to lose his money.
Yeah, and like, yeah, he did. Fuck Marco and his fucking poker bullshit.
Nope.
So,
not good enough.
Anyways, sorry.
Also, how big is Tony's shop, man? Like, the shop itself is huge, and then they have this giant room in the back where they can play poker. Must be some place.
Oh, that's an auto shop, right? So,
one of Jay's coworkers, Jake, tells Marco that they want a chance to win the money back tomorrow.
Yeah, and fuck that too. Fuck that.
Marco agrees. He's confident that he will continue to win.
I mean, sure. But Marco has no, like, the guys are like, we need a chance to win this back. And it's like, you're under no obligation to play these fuckers again.
You're not.
Ever. So.
Deuces, boys. I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Marco wants to. Marco believes that he will continue to win tomorrow. Yeah. So we then cut to Marco and the gang at a club. University bar.
Now I'm like, okay. Like, not a great club, but yes, this is a club.
At least he's fist pumping, like.
People are dancing. There's music. I'm like, okay, nightclub.
Good energy.
Yeah.
Marco is basically drunk on his win, and he's being kind of manic about it.
Yeah, and waving his money around in public like a fucking moron. Like, what are you doing?
No one else is very impressed, and Spinner kind of goes from 0 to 90 and suddenly tells him he's being an ass, which I thought was a little harsh. Like, he just invited, he was just like, hey, let's all go to an after hours club. And Spinner was like, you're being an ass. It was like, what? Like, it seemed disproportionate to how Marco was acting. But anyway, so yeah, and they're kind of, again, gambling addiction is very real, but it's kind of different than like drug addiction. And yes. I feel like they've got Marco playing it like he's on cocaine. Like,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Or needs that heroin fix.
Yeah, I'm like,
yeah, right. It's kind of, it's very strange.
It's exactly the same behavior as Jake Epstein, like, you know, 5 or 6 episodes ago, except it's just a different thing.
Right. Yes.
So we then get to the next night at the poker game. And Marco ends up losing everything.
Yeah. About fucking time.
Shocker.
Yeah. They're like, oh, you bluff on everything? Okay. They would have fucking cleaned him out in 20 minutes.
So after he loses everything, Marco kind of panics and asks for a loan to buy back in so he can try to win it back. But just then, Tony, the garage owner, busts in, catches them playing cards, and tells them to scram. So Marco does not have the opportunity to buy back in.
Nor should he.
No.
On the way home, Marco still thinks he can win everything back if he just gets the chance. But Spinner is very pissed that they lost $1,100 because of Marco's recklessness. He tells Marco that he needs to stop gambling.
He also says to him, you need to go home and watch TV with your dad. And I'm like, that's a weird suggestion. Like, I get that they want to get Marco in the same room with his father.
But why isn't Marco going home?
But yeah, like, why isn't Marco just going to his house? But Spinner's like, you need to go watch TV with your dad. I'm like, what? And they've been playing poker, presumably at night. So, like, what time is it? And when he's with his dad, you're going to find out it's not that late. So is it just a friendly afternoon poker game in the closed auto body shop? Like,
it's okay. Daylight savings time at Switch. It just got dark.
Yeah, that's right. Sure. It takes place in December, so it gets dark pretty early.
It'll be 5:30.
So Marco heads to his parents' place. And when Mr. Del Rossi goes to get him some cannelloni out of the fridge, Marco steals a wad of cash out of his dad's wallet.
Yeah, his dad doesn't tell him how they did at the track. He's like, we just had fun. And, like, you find out, I guess, by looking in his wallet that he made money. But, like,
so, yeah.
But like, when you say you had fun, that would imply that you lost, wouldn't it? Like, we had a good time.
That's my assumption.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he doesn't trust people. He doesn't trust banks.
Yeah. He doesn't trust his son.
Why are you asking about my money?
Yeah.
It's a lot to keep in your wallet.
He's like, every time I fucking won $100, I got an extra life. It was awesome.
Back at Degrassi, Darcy and Peter are instant messaging each other and making eyes at each other.
IMs that we have already established multiple times that teachers can and do read. So good job being secretive.
Kim and Darcy were supposed to work on a drama project after school, but Darcy lies and says that she has a grandma's birthday thing so she can sneak around with Peter instead. Ugh. And then after school, Darcy and Peter meet at a dog poo sign.
Uh-huh.
And cuddle on a bench.
Well, fucking...
Really, that's one thing that made me happy about this episode, because, like, we've seen Peter have to pick up dog poo. And now we're at the dog poo sign for a date. And I feel like maybe the writers are subconsciously making us associate Peter with poo. And I approve this message.
I just love that he says to her, you know, sorry it has to be like this, you know, sneaking around and lying. And in my notes, I'm like, Peter, that's all you've done since that's you started at Degrassi. What are you talking about?
You don't know any
about?
Different.
Also... like, maybe the writers meant to make it look like poo, but whoever did the music for this starts playing some stupid bullshit romantic music, like, where you're supposed to be like, oh, this is so epic, and I could barely hear the music over my vomiting.
It's like they want us to believe that this is a Romeo and Juliet story.
This is an epic romance. This
yes.
Is, yeah.
Like, nothing can keep them apart.
I can't with these two. Ugh. I just can't. So they are cuddling on a bench. They talk about how sneaking around is fun.
so gross.
And then Kim is walking her dog, and she catches them making out, and she is pissed that Darcy lied and blew her off.
Just what poor planning, because, okay, you know, based on how the Degrassi universe is laid out for you, you'd think that there are, like, 40 people who live in Toronto, and, you know, there's, like, one restaurant, one school, one university, and, like, one neighborhood, and that's
a
it.
Park.
But and a park, one park, yes, where there's a ravine where kids give blowjobs in vans.
Yeah, but the normal big city stuff.
But in reality, it's a big city. It is Toronto. They've established that they're in Toronto. Why would fucking Darcy be like, oh yeah, let's meet at the bench that is within walking distance of where Kim can walk her dog? That, like, what? Come on, dummy.
Well, okay, devil's advocate. I think that they're old enough. Kim might be old enough to drive. So it's possible that she drove her car to a dog park that's far away or something. It's possible.
Sure. Let's fill in the blanks for the writers.
Let's stretch that so thin that you almost see through it.
Sounds good.
So Marco's back to playing poker with the guys from the garage, but this time they are using the t-shirt store. And we learn that Marco does not have permission to be there. He would be dead if anybody knew that he was there. So they play a hand, and we see that Marco has the cards for a straight flush.
Yes, he flops a straight flush.
Which are very good cards.
This is a very good hand.
There's only one hand that is better than this, right?
That's correct.
Which is a royal flush.
I mean,
straight flush is the next best one.
Yeah, right? A straight flush with a higher kicker would be a better hand, but I think his kicker, yeah. I think he's up to a king, so he's got the best straight flush you could have, yes.
So just when he's about to win the pot, the police burst in and they arrest them all for trespassing.
So the way that Marco fucking bets, though, like, so if you flop, like, if you flopped that hand, You don't bet big.
No, you're probably checking the first
time. Yeah, you hold back to give the impression that you don't have something big. The moment that he fucking pushes on that. Now, again, Marco has been bluffing the whole time, so maybe that's what's going to save him here. But in normal circumstances, if he goes all big at that point in time, he may not get any action on that. But he does.
He hasn't had a real hand this entire show. You'd think he's probably, like, sweating right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, smirking under all of his, like, sweat. He's so happy.
But anyways, they lose the hand because the cops bust in at that very moment. Amazing.
So at Peter's house later that night, Darcy climbs in Peter's window, apparently because he wasn't returning her calls. And apparently what happened is Kim told Peter's mom that they were sneaking around. I don't know why she wouldn't tell Darcy's parents.
It's weird, right? Parents. This is very bizarre. Like, because Miss Hatzilakis is the fucking principal. Like, she's like, Principal Hatzilakis, your son is, like, yeah, that's bizarre. Very bizarre.
But did we all of a sudden realize she is now sneaking around at night and sneaking into, a window? Like,
yes.
Fucking Dawson's Creek or something?
Apparently Peter's parents have been talking about sending him away to boarding school.
Go for it.
They're a year too late for that.
Mm-hmm. He's feeling very defeated, like their relationship will never work. They're always going to try to keep us apart.
God.
Love will conquer all, guys.
Ugh. Yeah. Don't you believe that love conquers all? Our epic romance, our tragic love story. Darcy is frustrated that he doesn't seem willing to fight for their love.
Oh, my God.
Barf. She says she'll be at their special place tomorrow, and she urges him to not give up on them.
Now, what would make us think this was their special place?
Because we saw it earlier.
Maybe it's the bench.
Because leprechauns live there. It's fucking magical.
It is a magical
thing. Oh, you come to my special place. Doodly doodly doo.
It is the end of the rainbow.
Yes, that. We're back to Spinner, who arrives at the chaos, the
this
police
awesome.
Chaos at the store. we learn that Marco thought the alarm wasn't activated, but he didn't realize it was actually a silent alarm, which tripped to the police. The police officer, well, Spinner is furious that what was going on, of course. The police officer asks if Marco had permission to be there, and Spinner tearfully says no.
Okay.
They haul Marco away.
Yeah, so Spinner, think of all the fucking bullshit that Marco has forgiven Spinner for over the years.
Uh-huh. Mm,
yeah. The fucking gay bashing, his friend getting shot. And
all the shit with the Friendship Club in season 5 when they were being homophobic douchebags to Marco.
Yeah. That drive, he's probably against that, remember?
Yeah,
all that stuff. But Spinner is like, send this fucker to jail. Like, the first
Roll
time...
Roll the book at him.
Yeah, the first time that Marco does something, he's like, send him to jail. And Marco is really pretty. Like...
Yeah,
it's not going to go well for him in jail.
He's pretty, and he's tiny too.
Yes,
so he's like what, 5'4"?
Oh,
come on,
Jesus!
It's the only way that I can help him with his
love. Yeah,
playing that side of the game.
It's the only way I can help him with his 3-day-old gambling addiction.
Can we also point out that this cop believes that in this group of kids, Spinner, who might be younger than some of them, is the owner of this business. Just showed up and said, is this guy work for you? Like, why am I at work for you?
He's like, wait a second. Are children running this store?
How did you get a business license?
But you also, he's like,
rent a car.
He's like, this is the second fucking time we've been here in like 6 weeks. Like,
that's how she knows.
Fuck. Yeah.
You again.
I applied for the business license at study hall at my high school. The next day, Darcy is waiting in the backstage boiler room thingy area for Peter, and she's about to give up. But then suddenly he arrives, so their tragic, epic love story can continue.
Excuse me?
Sorry.
It's funny too, because when he appears, like, the bright light is behind him, like, ooh.
Oh my god.
Well, she's waiting, and it's like,
can't.
Like, they play it up like, oh, he's not going to show up after all, and she's about to leave, and then fucking Peter, the sexy hero, appears.
Dost thou protest our love?
Oh.
Nair.
My favorite part of Shakespeare is when he started off Romeo and Juliet, where Romeo sent the pedophile to Juliet's place. That was really cool. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So next morning in the dorm mansion, Marco comes downstairs and his dad is there. And apparently his dad has a cop buddy.
Oh, no. Uncle Louie has the cop buddy. Which, I'm like, of course
Uncle
he does.
Louis.
He's like, Uncle Louie has a friend in the forest that told me you were in jail. Like, that's great. Uncle Louie rules.
Again, I don't want to push Italian stereotypes, but of course he's got a buddy who knows somebody.
Uh-huh. True.
Marco, confidentiality legislation does not exist in the Degrassi universe. So they told me about what happened.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's a cop buddy who knows Uncle Louie, told him what happened. We learned that Spinner didn't actually go through with pressing charges in the end. So, except for the cops having confiscated all of the poker money.
Of course they did.
It's pretty
evidence.
Much handled.
It's evidence.
Yeah, evidence. Yeah. That's right. Fucking cops.
Mr. Del Rosti seems to sort of have put two and two together here and asks about the $600 that's missing. And Marco comes clean. And says that he needed it because he was in the hole. And Mr. Del Rossi is incredulous, can't believe that he would actually steal from family. And Marco blames his behavior on the loss of Dylan. But Mr. Del Rossi's having none of it.
I fucking loved it. This is the last This is the last scene of Marco's dad in Degrassi, by the way. Like, this is his farewell. And Marco is like, my stole because I'm just heartbroken over Dylan. And Mr. Del Rossi is like, fuck you. Like, no more accent. He's like, eat shit, you fucking thief.
This is not about your boyfriend.
I loved it.
That's true, right? Like, he basically gives Marco a lecture about taking responsibility for your actions, even when you're having a rough time. Like,
yeah,
you can't just blame, like, your misbehavior on your emotional shit.
Yeah,
like,
he said, people leave Marco. You have to live your own life. Because that's what it was. He was blaming it all on Dylan being gone and him being a jackass. $600, I wrote in my notes. Jesus Christ, my dad would have killed me.
Okay, can I bring this up? Like, Stacey, are you Italian?
I am.
Okay, I have been around a lot of Italian fathers in my life.
Oh, well, my dad was Greek, but he still would have
I think it's
ass.
Probably fair to say it's going to be the same.
Yeah.
He takes this really well. Like, even though he's kind of chastising Marco, he's pretty calm about this whole situation.
Oh yeah.
Like, this is out of character for a lot of the Italian dads.
Marco would have been beaten with a belt no matter how old he was.
Like, the fact that he stole in general and then he stole from family. Oh my God. And stole from himself. Oh my God. This would not be the way the dads I grew up around would act.
My mom used to keep like a jam jar and it was full of pennies. And she used it at Halloween. She would put the pennies in the UNICEF box. Cause you know, those pennies would feed those fucking starving kids. But anyways, so I knew where the pennies were, and so I used to take pennies from the jar and go buy fucking, like, penny candy from
the store.
And I probably ultimately maybe took, like, you know, a dollar's worth of pennies. I got in more trouble over that than fucking Marco and the $600.
Yeah. $600.
Yeah. Oh,
fuck.
That's a lot of money to rip off from your parents.
That's so much money. Oh my God.
Like, we're talking about $20, 20 bucks from original Degrassi for a ticket. This is 600 phones.
Well, 600 in 2007 money, too, so...
Yeah, that's like $14,000 today, everybody.
Melanie would have really gotten in trouble. There'd been a lot of chili being eaten for a long time there.
So, also, the moment where Marco talks about Dylan is actually the first time he's revealed. Like, it's the progression of Marco, like, I'm gay, and, you know, whatever, whatever, and now he's like... No, it's Dylan. Dylan's my boyfriend, Dad. And again, his dad's like, fuck you. Like, give me my money.
I'm not stupid.
I don't give a fuck. You did wrong.
It's like my homophobia is snuffed out by my love of money. So.
I don't care who you're sleeping with. Yeah. You stole $600 from me.
Yeah.
Now work for me to pay it off. Yes. That was the other thing he said.
Yeah.
You had me honor.
He stole. Yeah.
And then Marco's gambling addiction is magically solved.
Yes.
And we never hear about it again.
Huh? That's night in prison. We'll do that for you. So.
Yep. And sorry to break everyone's heart. As you mentioned, Alan, this is the final appearance of Mr. Del Rossi.
Can we clap up Mr. Del Rossi?
Yes.
We give you a wholehearted, we hardly knew ye.
You know what we need to do now that we need to, maybe as another way of kind of pausing and avoiding starting season 7 for as long as possible, we should all each bring an inductee to the Narbos and Broomheads Hall of Fame. And
I agree. Why not have an episode?
Yeah. So let's talk about it offline. But everybody out there, if you have any nominees for the Narbos and Broomheads Hall of Fame, please, narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com, let us know. Degrassi characters. I can't go in the Hall of Fame, everybody. I'm on the podcast. So,
darn.
Sorry, I got to scratch that one out then. Damn it. Back to the
sorry, everyone. Mm.
Final thoughts on this episode.
I mean,
don't all jump in at once.
There were opinions going into this, like, you know, this was a shit episode and blah, blah, blah. And, like, you know, it's not a masterpiece or anything, but I mean, I thought that it was very meaty with stuff to discuss, and I actually, like, I didn't think it was a great episode, but in terms of giving stuff to talk about, it was fucking fantastic, so I'm gonna give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, listen, this show is off the rails. I think we all know that. Like, it's in a different level. But this was fun. I liked watching this. I like knowing we're gonna talk about this. I'm not coming at this being like, what the hell, this is awful. I mean, it's silly, but like Alan said, it was a fun watch. I had no problem watching this and saying, oh, I got to watch this again to pay attention to it. I haven't been able to say that a lot of these episodes. I'm going to give it a thumbs up as well.
Nice.
I think that Marco's trajectory in this episode is ridiculous.
Yes.
And I'm glad that they're trying to touch on subjects like gambling addiction, but I think maybe they needed to do a little bit more research in terms of what gambling addiction really looks like in the real world.
Or how long it maybe takes to surface.
3 days.
You know, or recover.
Sure.
One day.
Also, that it maybe doesn't make you act like you're on drugs. Like, it's, you know, it's, there's some kind of disconnect there. But I do appreciate the effort that they went to touch on that. And, you know, I say that I can't with Darcy and Peter, and that's true. It makes me barf. But it is like a love to hate relationship.
Well, that sounds like three thumbs up.
Uh-huh. I don't know. I'm gonna give it a warming up, I think.
Okay.
I can't give it a full hot. Hot is hot, but I can give it a warming up.
Half chub, okay.
Yeah, half chub, yes. Great. Good.
Stacey, you loved it, right? It was just another in a long line of bangers in this season,
perfect,
I believe.
For Stacey Gox.
Yeah.
God. No, I'm going to be the one dissenter because I can't. I can't with this fucking show and this fucking season. And I can't wait for it to be over because I can't take it.
Come on.
We're trucking right along toward the end of season 6. What do we have next week? We have
I was working as a waitress in a stripper bar. Sorry.
Yeah, we have.
If you've been waiting for another two-parter.
Yeah, we have another two-parter. So many two-parters. That's coming up next week. So please join us again. Thank you everyone for listening tonight. My name is Arlo. You can follow me on Instagram at ArloeScott. Alan?
I'm Alan, as you just said. Slip with Five Eyes on the social medias. You can follow this podcast at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast on Instagram, or send us an email, narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Who, which Degrassi character should be the inaugural inductees into the Narbos and Broomheads Hall of Fame? Please let us know. And over to you, Stacey.
You can find me on Instagram at srgots. I'm not going to say Twitter anymore because I can't stand that place. And
deleted my Twitter account.
Yeah, I might. My 15th anniversary is coming up, and I think that might be the day that I do it.
After the anti-Semitic stuff, I was just like, nope.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, it's bad. Follow me on Instagram at srgots and TikTok. If you don't want Degrassi spoilers, don't follow me there, but I'm also srgots. And let's take it on up to Oakville.
And I'm at folly_t at Instagram. And just a shout out to my high school volleyball team. The senior boys are now undefeated right now at the Ontario Championship. So go Chargers.
Whoa,
yeah.
Good job.
Fuck them up, Chargers. Fuck up those other schools.
All right. Well, that's the show. And we will catch you next time. Bye.
Peace.
Fold the damn hand, Marco.
Go Chargers.
Well,
go.
I just said I was going to get my up. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kelly. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe cut. Don't you get caught my dreams. Everyone thinks I'm so good. I went crazy at the school. Yeah, oh.